The Bible is rife with tales of courageous people. It seems the Old Testament speaks more of courage than it does of love. Bold Moses standing in front of Pharaoh and saying, "Let my people go." Adolescent David, armed with just a few stones, quivering bravely in front of the giant Goliath. Naomi, after her husband and sons had died, returning empty-handed and empty-hearted to her hometown. Noah, building an ark in front of his laughing neighbors. Esther, out-manipulating the maniacal Haman to stop genocide. Daniel, worshiping on his way to the lion's den. And Jacob, wrestling all night until his hip broke, trying to get a blessing from the angel. These people were all courageous to risk their reputations and their lives. And in the New Testament, we have John the Baptist, who speaks truth to power and literally loses his head. Stephen preaching the good news until he's crushed by stones. Disciples leaving everything that they know to follow this compelling stranger, Jesus. The unclean, hemorrhaging woman daring to reach out and touch just the hem of Jesus' robe. And nothing is more courageous than surrendering to authorities and walking to your own crucifixion. Today's Matthew is from the very first chapter of the New Testament. And it too is a story of courage, a pregnant teenage girl. Her seemingly betrayed spouse, who instead of condemning her, stands by her side. A man who gives his family name to a child he has not fathered. These are all Bible stories of courage. All this bluster about heroes and bravery in Scripture is just another way to tell a story of love. This Advent, we've asked, what can't wait? Courage, peace, faith, love. What can't wait? Love can't wait. Daniel loved God. Esther loved her people. David loved his family, his king, his nation. John the Baptist loved the promise of hope. Stephen loved his Savior. People don't do courageous things without conviction. Courage is built on loyalty and trust and sacrifice and promise. Courage rises up from love. This morning, let's consider three types of courage that are born of love, a love that can't wait. In Matthew 1, love slips into the world almost invisibly, without a parade or a medal ceremony or a big bang. An angel appears to Mary when she is alone and confides to her that she will carry the Savior of the world. An angel of the Lord tells a dreaming Joseph not to be afraid. And in Luke's gospel, we read that Jesus the Christ was born in a stable with Mary and Joseph most likely alone, scared, and desperate. Just like any first-time parents delivering a child without benefit of experience or assistance. The raucous glory of the Lord that shone all around was with the shepherds in a faraway field. And the bright, shining star that led the wise men was too distant to warm the barn or provide some sort of light for this young couple bringing new life into the world. In the stable, it was a silent night. One type of courage is as silent as that holy night. There are times when it takes guts to be silent. The Gospel of Luke says the shepherds made known abroad all that they had learned of the Messiah, but Mary, the young woman who had pushed and strained to give birth to this miracle, Mary silently pondered these things in her heart. While the shepherds proclaimed, Mary quietly nursed her newborn. Maybe her mother's intuition sensed that the tiny child would live a life filled with shouted questions and growing mobs, with tumult and betrayal and, in the end, violence. To survive such a big life, her little boy would need a calm, soothing, thoughtful place or person of refuge. Maybe Mary's greatest courage was in her choice to, for the next 33 years, be that refuge for Jesus, a place of steadiness, calm, quiet, and unconditional love. Author and theologian Parker Palmer has written many books, and I commend every single one of them to you. In a late chapter of his book, Let Your Life Speak, Palmer recalls a period of time when he was languishing in a deep depression. One friend came by his home regularly and sat silently with him, wordlessly massaging Parker's feet. This man did not ask anything of Parker Palmer. He did not offer solutions or make observations or tell inspirational stories. He in no way tried to fix him. This man was content to simply be with his friend. Palmer writes, "By standing respectfully and faithfully at the borders of another's solitude, we may mediate the love of God to a person who needs something deeper than any human can give." Blessedly, Parker says, "There were people who had the courage to stand with me in a simple and healing way. It takes courage to love quietly." As Mary and Parker Palmer's friend show us, one way to love is to have the courage to be silent. A second way to love courageously is to not be silent. It takes immense courage to speak up or act in difficult situations. Matthew tells us that Joseph was a righteous man, so justice and ethics and Torah law were very important to him. Joseph resolved to quietly dismiss Mary so she might escape the legalistic penalties of exclusion or death. But then an angel visits Joseph in a dream, and the angel says, "Don't be afraid," which is really just another way of saying, have courage. Joseph then did two brave things in the face of society's displeasure. Joseph stood by Mary, despite what the neighbors were saying. And Joseph gave the child his family name, legitimizing the infant in the eyes of society and connecting Jesus to a family line that can be traced straight back to King David. The child was a gift of love from God. And Joseph's courage in claiming Mary and naming Jesus grew out of that love. And when would we need courage these days? You don't have to be on the front lines of a war to be brave. Sometimes it's standing in the foyer during a neighborhood Christmas party. It takes courage to challenge a friend who makes a thinly veiled racist joke or a low-key sexist comment or a homophobic reference. But if you love someone in that much maligned minority, or if you love your friend who said those harmful words, you'll ask for clarification. Maybe I misheard you. Will you say that again? Or challenge the stereotype. Is that what you believe? Speaking up in a calm, reasonable voice is an act of courage and love. J.K. Rowling's character, Dumbledore, says, "It takes a great deal of bravery to stand up to our enemies, but just as much to stand up to our friends." In Genesis, Abraham dares to speak up to God on behalf of the city of Sodom because of his love for the righteous people who live there. Imagine the nerve that it takes to speak up to God. Abraham's courage spared an entire city from destruction. There's a modern day version of this tale. There is a tiny, teenage, autistic girl who is speaking up to power on behalf of the innocence of her generation and of the generations to follow. Greta Thunberg loves humanity and her planet and is deeply concerned about the survival of both in the shadow of global warming. And this love has given her courage. Love has given this very quiet person a voice. Last year, she proposed a school strike to draw attention to the issue, saying if the people in power were not investing in her future, why should she? Though she was only an army of one, this courageous, waif-like 15-year-old printed flyers, made a hand-done poster board sign, and protested in front of Swedish Parliament. She resolved to speak up. She was alone on day one, and then on day two, someone joined her. Greta says, "The moment one striker becomes two strikers, that's a big step. Two became eight, which became hundreds, which became thousands." You know, courage has a ripple effect. Just over a year ago, a quiet and mostly friendless teenager woke up, put on her blue hoodie, and sat by herself for hours in an act of singular defiance. 14 months later, she had become the voice of millions, a symbol of a rising global rebellion. That quote is from an article describing this now 16-year-old as Time Magazine's 2019 Person of the Year. Time photographer Evgenia Arbagaeva took this photo, and she says, "I was thinking, how can I make a portrait that combines gentleness and at the same time, courage? How could a portrait combine gentleness and at the same time, courage? Gentleness and courage. How about these? The courage to be silent, the courage to speak up, and now a third type of courage that sounds counterintuitive. It is the love-empowered courage to be vulnerable. Social scientist Brené Brown wrote an entire book about this idea. It's called Daring Greatly, and I commend that book to you as well. Sharks are born swimming. And when baby sea turtles hatch, they make a beeline for the water. But human beings? Infants are utterly helpless. It's not just that we can't defend ourselves from attack, we can't survive without help. Even the Christ child had to be lifted up to be fed. Genesis tells us God created us out of love in God's own image. Matthew 1 says, God here among us, the Christ child, was born just as vulnerable as every other infant. So as we read Matthew 1, as we look at the paintings of the infant Jesus, we realize there is holiness present in vulnerability. Vulnerability, admitting we don't have it all together, that you've made some mistakes, that you're sorry for what you said or how you behaved. It takes courage to look across the kitchen table or fly across the country and admit that you're not perfect. It's an act of bravery to walk across the office or this sanctuary or the parking lot, and say, you matter to me. I have to own some of the stuff that's messed up between us, and I'd like to move forward in our relationship. And it takes backbone to firmly say no to the person that you've enabled for years so that he can learn to stand on his own. Or so she discovers inside herself a resilience that she can trust. It takes courage to be vulnerable enough to admit you need help. The need to be alone is normal until it isn't. Depressed people isolate. It takes courage to ask for help out of that loneliness. Help is available if you admit you need it and believe that you, a beloved child of God, deserve it. Christ himself had the disciples fetching colts, getting bread and fish, and setting aside his need for quiet time. God loves you without question. Have the courage to admit that you can't do it alone. The word courage comes from the Latin root cor, which means heart. Of course it does. Because love stands at the very foundation of every courageous thing that we do. Brené Brown says courage originally meant to speak one's mind by telling all one's heart. God placed God's own heart in the manger on Christmas Day. Imagine the courage it takes to choose to reveal yourself not as a violent, conquering leader of an army who breathes fire and brimstone. Imagine the courage it takes to be born in a stable, to an impoverished couple, in a foreign land, without the aid of a midwife or doctor. Imagine the courage it takes for Almighty God to show up as a vulnerable bundle of love. It's that love that comes to us and gives us the courage to be quiet, to speak up, to be vulnerable. It's that love that we can't wait for this Christmas. Because Christmas is love.